Hi, I'm Gary Gladstone, and I just got back from Double Trouble, New Jersey, Climax, Minnesota, Burnt Corn, Alabama, and I'm the author of Reaching Climax and Other Towns Along the American Highway, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and we're going traveling on this little segment of the show, and not traveling to the usual sort of places like London and Paris, but to places a bit more unusual. Then again, we live relatively close to a place called Flushing, Queens, so that should give you some idea. And we've all heard of Intercourse, Pennsylvania, and giggled and perhaps passed the sign that we're going into Intercourse. But believe it or not, there are places in this country that are even weirder or more weirdly named and more, bizarrely and almost sexually named than those. I don't know them, but there's a fellow who does. His name is Gary Gladstone, and he's written two books about his travels. They're photography books. He's a professional photographer. And so along the way of doing these fairly glamorous and respectable photo books with beautiful pictures, he's also going to these places with the absolutely most indescribable names, except he's going to describe them. So, Gary Gladstone, welcome to the Daverhood.
Hey, Dave.
How are you doing?
Tonight. I'm doing good. I'm having fun.
Good, good, good. So, among the places, just in things I've read about the book, which is called Reaching Climax and Other Towns Along the American Highway, Climax, of course, being the town where?
Up in... let me tell you, there's not just one Climax.
Oh my goodness!
Which is happy
you have multiples.
Very nice for people to know. I was out on the road for a year doing a book, visiting 60 tiny towns in the United States that had unbelievable names. And the book, we were in a town called Peculiar, Missouri.
Okay.
We're on our way to Tightwad, which was about 40 miles away. And we stopped at a gas station. The driver told us about a town in Kansas that he thought we should include in this project because we talked with everybody along the road. And he said it's named Gas. And he knew a diner there called Bonnie's Corner Cafe. Well, we got on the phone, called Bonnie, said, Bonnie, can we come over and make a picture of you and this diner for this project, which is a book on towns with funny names? She said, sure. Come down out of Kansas City, south on 59, turn west on 30, but be careful, if you blink, you're going to pass Gas.
She
did say that.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard, I dropped my clipboard. And that became the working title for that project and subsequently became the name of the book. And
Passing Gas
in Other Towns Along the American Highway. And the book was published about 2 or 3 years ago. It was so well received. And folks who called me and asked, in that book I went to Intercourse in Alabama, not in Pennsylvania, where you mentioned, and everybody thinks that Pennsylvania is the headquarters for Intercourse, but there's one in Alabama as well. And they asked us why we went to that one, and nobody believed that there could be more than one. Well, I did a little research, and there are, in the U.S., five podunks, two borings, four blue balls.
Oh, no, come on. Four,
yes.
Not blue bells.
Well, there's a blue bell also.
Well, that's nice, but what could blue that
ball
refer to?
Well, in this case, in the one that I went to, which was in Maryland for this book, it referred to an actual blue ball. It was a giant, heavy thing that looked like one of the three balls that may have been at a porn shop.
Oh,
but it wasn't
porn,
that.
P-A-W shop,
yes,
not
exactly.
The... Yeah.
Well, there you go. That was simply a sign for a tavern. The tavern was called the Blue Ball Tavern.
Right.
And most of these towns...
Where the women were untouchable, yeah.
Totally. There are also two Intercourses, which we already know.
Right.
Seven Surprises, 36 Eurekas, and 18 Climaxes. So when I started the second book, I wanted to be sure to have a climax in it, and I found an article about a town in Minnesota, which was populated with only 250 people. It had the name Climax, and they were having their centennial celebration, and the town fathers sponsored a contest for folks to write a slogan.
Oh, God.
Celebrate the, yes. And this slogan was going to be on a sign over Main Street. And some of the entries were No End to Climax, Climax Forever, Climax More Than Just a Feeling, and the best... for the Chamber of Commerce, of course, was Bring a Friend to Climax.
Oh, that's good. So, actually, I would have gone for Come to Climax. I mean,
I'm absolutely sure that was one of the answers.
Yeah, I'll bet.
They went and mined the heck out of that.
Of course.
These are 250, obviously, good church-going people from farming community, and this is what they came up with for their slogan, which was, in fact, the winning slogan was Climax More Than Just a Feeling.
That is very good, yeah.
A high school senior, a girl by the name of Bethany Grove, wore a T-shirt to school one day with the slogan printed on it. She was told to turn it inside out or go home.
Okay. So, well, the shirt, you mean? No, I don't know what that means. Okay.
Exactly. She refused to turn the shirt inside out, and she went home. And the story got huge national and regional press, and I made a beeline for Bethany because I thought the story was too good, and that's where we shot. Of the 18 climaxes, that's the one we chose to do for the book. These are really kind of serious portraits.
Oh, sure, but
and some writings about the towns, and obviously you can't not laugh when you read about places that people live in.
Like some others would be.
Well, we went in this book. We went to Detour in Maryland, Cuckoo in Virginia, Hell Hollow in New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
Superior Bottom in West Virginia,
yeah.
Sugar Tit in Kentucky.
You're kidding me.
No, there's honest to goodness, it's Sugar Tit, S-U-G-A-R-T-I-T.
Now, when people address letters or things come to that by mail or whatever, or do they put that on buildings there, or do they realize they're not going to change the name of the town, but there it is?
Most of the towns are really very small, so there would be no particular reason except for the general store to have a sign with the name of the town on it.
Come to Sugar Tit.
Sugar Tit was named Sugar Tit because of the farming community that lived in the area back in the 1800s had huge families. I mean, 10, 12, 13 children, which is apparently what you needed in those days keep the farm going. But it was kind of tough on mom. So the pacifiers that were used in those days were a lump of sugar wrapped in a fabric with a little bow tied around it, and the infant would suck on that, and that would and that was called a sugar tit. And the general store was known to be the major source of it in the region, and had a big display because there were so many families in the area. And the store was just casually referred to as Sugar Tit. I'll meet you down at Sugar Tit or over.
Wow.
It was a casual reference.
And yet, when I go into any store and I see the woman behind the counter and I ask, you know, I say Sugar Tit, she slaps me.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it.
Well, you get this nice rosy complexion after that.
Rosy Owens, in fact. So, what are some other interesting names, true names?
Well, these are true names. We were in Beaver Lick in Kentucky, which was about 12 miles from Big Bone, Kentucky, and those that was in fact 24 miles from Rabbit Hash.
Rabbit Hash is cute. Beaver Lick and Big Bone.
Well, the names are pretty much self-explanatory in that in Big Bone it was named for giant mastodons that roamed in that area that apparently were found in what appeared to be a graveyard because the bones were so concentrated in excavations because there were salt marshes there and they were there to lick the salt grasses and trees and apparently sank into the and got stuck in the mud, so to speak, and died.
So it should have been called Stupid Mastodon Place.
Yes. Well, that's why they're not around now. We're the stupid ones.
And what about Beaver Lick?
Beaver Lick was essentially the same idea, and that is that there were beaver corpses in the area, a huge number of them, and that was from also a salt marsh and a stream that the beavers would be there, congregate there, because of the salt in the water. Animals.
Yeah, but I still don't get them. What they would
lick the grasses or the bases, the stumps of trees, or the bases of trees, or the rocks if there were any in the stream because they collected the salts.
Huh. All right. Okay. Then.
So the word lick is where an animal would come,
as it were.
Yeah.
Let me ask you: when people named that, okay, maybe they really meant. The beavers go and the salty grass.
Right, right.
Did they have any clue at all that there could be another meaning?
Some did and some didn't. In other words, in some towns, like Beaver Lick, was in the language of the day, simply descriptive of what we were talking
and
about.
And Sugar Tit, obviously, was you find it in, like, John Steinbeck. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was literally the sweet treat, a sweet treat, as it were.
In some places, they know it's a funny name, and they leave it, and they enjoy it. For instance, out in Dick Shooter in Idaho.
Dick Shooter, Idaho.
It's in the Idaho outback, and there is a series of cow camps that considers itself a community.
Yeah.
I met a cowboy who lived there, and the story goes, the cowboy incidentally I met calls himself the mayor of Dick Shooter. His picture is in the book as well.
Okay.
And I asked him how it got its name, and he gave me two versions of the story. One was the one that seems to be the most popular, which was apparently it was named after a face-off in which the fella drew a six-shooter from his belt and fired a little too soon. And that's
yeah.
one story. Well, he said that with a straight face. And the ranch owner who was with us during that shoot, property owner in the area, said the same thing. Also, there was another make-better myth that was named after a Richard Shooter, a C-H-U-D-E-R,
uh-huh.
who lived in the area.
But it's spelled, the name of that town is spelled...
D-I-C-K-S-H-O-O-T-E-R.
Oh, it's spelled with the shooting part, yeah. Okay.
And we were in Double Trouble, New Jersey.
New Jersey? Really? Where is that in relation to, like...
Well, it's near... First Amboy. I'm trying to think of the...
Jersey has the best names. They got Secaucus, Succasauna.
Yeah.
Uncle Floyd used to goof on those on his TV show, but he never mentioned Double Trouble.
Double Trouble. And,
wow.
And it was named after two beaver dams in one stream causing a lot of flooding. And farmers would name fields like in Dismal. we were in Dismal, Tennessee, and it simply was... It was one of four different fields that the farmers would say, I'll meet you up at whatever, High Ridge or a Beech Tree, which were the nicknames of the fields that had whatever feature. And apparently Dismal was just a swampy field, and that's
I think one of the most descriptive would you, I've never been, and I would never want to go to Death Valley.
No.
Now, someone named that, I guess, because you get to one end of it, and if you don't have a camel, you won't make it to the other end. It's a good name. It's just not a pleasant one.
Pretty scary. Hi, I'm Gary Gladstone, and I just got back from Bummerville, California, Idiotville, Oregon, Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, Sanitarium, California, Superior Bottom, West Virginia. These are real folks, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By.
So this is Gary Gladstone, by the way, on the phone with us in the neighborhood, talking about his book, Reaching Climax and Other Towns Along the American American Highway, available from 10 Speed Press, when people can get it.
They can go, if they want to see some pictures, it's easy to do. Just hit www.gladstone.com, and that's my webpage, my professional webpage, and there's a little gallery there for Passing Gas, a little gallery for for Reaching Climax. It's totally respectful.
Yeah, I see a lot of those. Okay. Oh, you mean, yeah, got it.
You can show it to the kids, no big problem. You can order a book there, or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Borders. We're for real. I mean, it's a serious project.
No, absolutely. And are they black and white or is it color?
They're all color portraits.
Cool.
And each town is just one page of text. Tell you the stories. You don't have to sit and think you're into a big tome. I wish the publishers would put a chain on it, hang it in the John, because it's that kind of perfect short reading and a little smile. And
is it a coffee table size or what's the?
It's a coffee table. Well, it's a small coffee table book. Yes, perfect bound. And
cool. And obviously a really cool holiday gift for someone with
perfect.
An eye for photography and a sense of humor. Gary, give us one or two more names, funny names and their derivations.
Well, we were in Bummerville, California.
Ooh, Bummer, yeah.
And that was named after a logging and mining, it was a logging and mining community in which the miners were so far from town that they had to hire a wagon to pick them up and take them to town for the weekend where they would stay for the whole weekend.
Uh-huh.
They returned early on Monday morning. The local gentry called this neighborhood Bummerville. These were the bums that had to go to town. There was a town in Pennsylvania called Blowtown. Everybody thinks that has to do with a bad lunch or whatever
else.
But in fact, it's just a mispronunciation of the folks who lived at the bottom of the hill. The town was on the top of the hill, and those are the folks who live below town.
So
if you say it fast, and
apostrophe missing or something like that. And then the other thing is that you can't, you really can't go to Blowtown without going through Bieberlick first. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I'm so proud of that joke. One more from Gary Gladstone, and then we got to go.
Well, let me see.
You know, something really, really out there.
Well, really out there. It could be Big Ugly.
Yeah.
That's in West Virginia, and it was I met a mountain woman. She was in her upper 80s, who lived high up on a hill that she walked up and down every day. I had a hard time driving up, much less walking up, being a New Yorker. And she told me that she heard that the town was named after just a real ugly guy who lived up at a creek, and the creek got its name, Big Ugly Creek. And it was this man's property, and of course the region in the area took the name Big Ugly. She was quite a character. She had a wall of squirrels.
What do you mean, a wall of squirrels?
Well, she has a shotgun at 87, goes hunting in the woods every day,
yeah.
Brings squirrels back, eats them, and hangs the skins on the wall, or stuffs some of them. And, she's just an astounding, astounding woman. Her picture is in the book as well. These are all formal portraits. We were in Fanny and Fickle in Goobertown, Arkansas.
Goobertown?
Goobertown in...
Is that G, like Goober?
Like Goober, G-O-O-B-E-R-T-O-W-N. Uh-huh. It was named by Confederate troops who were camped in the area and discovered the small peanuts called Goobers that were growing wild.
Huh.
And after the war, they came back and built housing community there. They loved the farming area, and they called their camp, when they were there originally, Goobertown.
Cool.
And
I didn't realize the name Goober went that far back as far as chocolate-covered peanuts. That's cool.
Well, that was my favorite, too.
Yeah.
Suck the chocolate off it and maybe eat or maybe spit the peanut out. It was my movie etiquette of the day.
I know. I'll stick with a Bieberlick. But, you know, Gary Gladstone, it's been great having you in the Daverhood. Nothing really special name. It's Dave's Gone By here because it's named after me. Maybe they'll name a town after me one day. But everybody, go get Reaching Climax or his other book, Passing Gas. They're big, nice picture books. They're actually real serious photography books, except with funny little captions that are all true. And again, what's that website?
The website is www.gladstone.com, G-L-A-D-S-T-O-N-E. My family calls me Happy Rock. If it helps you to remember Gladstone better, then so be it.
All right. Well, we are glad to have you, Mr. Gladstone.
Fun to be with you today. You have good sense of humor.
Thanks, man. Have a great one.
Talk to you.